I wanted to share just for a couple more minutes on this same topic, but just expand on that just a little bit, but it will be just a few extra verses. I was thinking this morning about this thought, and I've been thinking about this lately, of learning to depend totally on our Heavenly Father. And I will say, maybe for the grads, because we are acknowledging our grads today, I didn't get a chance to sign your card, so I'm sorry for that. But I would say that what I have in my heart for you guys is this. This is one thing that I think would be a huge blessing for you to learn early in your adult life, is to lean on the Lord and trust Him and depend on Him, and don't go with the I do myself mentality. It will go ill for you if that is the way it goes. And I was thinking this morning, who is a Bible character someone we see in the Bible that is a great example of this? So that's my question. You don't have to, don't say it out loud, but think about that. If you were thinking of who's a great example of someone from the Bible who learned dependence on God and exemplified that. And I was thinking as I was driving here this morning, I was like, you know what? Jesus is the greatest example of that. And we see that. And you would think, as I was thinking about that, it's totally contradictory, because you would look at Jesus and you would think, well, no, he's Jesus. He's got it. But he is the greatest example, I believe, that we can see in the scripture of someone who just depended completely on his Heavenly Father. And I think it's a great picture. And we see this right at the start, and I believe that this isn't really the start. We see him when he's kind of 30 years old. So in Mark chapter 1 is one of the passages, and there's many, but I like this one because it's right at the start of us kind of meeting Jesus in his adult life. And so you see here, in verse 29, they came out of the synagogue. He had been in the synagogue, he casts out a demon. They come out, then he goes to Simon's house, I believe it is, and he heals his mother-in-law. It's just a crazy day. It says, when evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city gathered at the door, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. So his day started in the synagogue, casting out demons, and then it just carried on the whole day to the point where the entire city was there. How many figure Jesus was pretty exhausted by the end of the day? I would say he was totally exhausted by the end of the day, would be my guess. It doesn't say that. Then it says in 35, and this is the verse I wanted to say. So it says, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. You see this as you read through the Gospels, and you can find those snippets where it talks about Jesus snuck away to a mountainside and he would pray on the mountain. Sometimes he would pray all night. And here you see it. He was probably completely exhausted. And Paul talks in the one place, he says, he talks about beating his body and making it his slave, right? What does that actually look like? Beating my body and making it my slave. You know, it can look like different things. Sometimes it may be saying, you know what? I'm going to not do that my friends are inviting me to this activity, and I'm going to not do that because I know that that's not going to go well for me. And then your friends are mocking you. Well, that's beating your body. That's definitely beating your body. Then there's this, which is probably exhaustion, and then saying, you know what, I got to get up early enough that I can beat everybody else up and I can get out and have some time in prayer. Why did he prioritize it? Why would he do it? He's Jesus. But I believe in my heart, like, he knew better than anyone that without his Heavenly Father guiding him and helping him, he wouldn't make it. It says in Hebrews chapter 5, It says, in the days of Jesus' flesh, he was 5'7", in the days of his time on earth or his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety or his godly fear. And although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he had suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. So Jesus is the example that he was saved from death. What kind of death? We've talked about this many times. Not a natural death, because we know that he died a natural death. But he was saved from sin. He was saved from a spiritual death. And he did it completely because he learned to depend on his Father. And I was thinking about this in the definition. What does it look like to become spiritually mature? What do you think of when you think of becoming spiritually mature? I would tell you, prior to thinking about it this morning, I would have said spiritually mature is to grow into the likeness and the character of Jesus Christ. And I think that that's absolutely true. But I had a new thought this morning, which is becoming spiritually mature is someone that has grown increasingly in their ability to depend completely on their Heavenly Father. And not like in everything that they do, their life is dependent on Him. And they've learned to pray about everything and just to come to Him and ask Him for wisdom when they need wisdom, ask Him for strength when they need strength. And not just when things are really tough, but every day, in all things. And this is, as I say to the grads, I wasn't planning on making this for the grads, but it would be my heart's desire. I'm 44 years old, and I feel like this is a lesson I'm learning today and probably over the last 10 years. So say I start really learning it in a deeper way at 34. Well, you guys are like 18, 17, 18, 19, whatever the ages are of our older youth. Man, how much of a blessing to learn this at a young age, to just say, Lord, I need thee every hour. I need thee. I remember hearing from a youth when he went off to university, texting back, and he said, it's not every hour I need thee. Sometimes it's every minute I need thee. And I love that. It's a picture of learning that the only way I'm going to make it is by depending on the Lord for strength, for grace. It says, coming boldly to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I think the more we learn that, the world would say that that is weakness. But praise God, he says, my strength is perfected in weakness. That's why his strength is perfected, because we've come to him and we're learning to depend completely on him and find our strength completely in him. So I wanted to just share that with you this morning, a very simple thought of what does it look like to become mature in Christ, or another aspect, let me say that, another aspect of becoming mature in Christ. And I'll just finish with this very familiar hymn. Just some of the words here are so good. In this context of learning to depend and just trust completely in the Lord, it says, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine when we're leaning on the everlasting arms, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on the everlasting arms. And then it says, oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. We looked at that verse in Psalm 84 on Friday night. I just shared that really quick. I will share it again. But it says, talks about this, and this would again be my encouragement for myself and for all of us. It says, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you. That is somebody who's learned to depend on the Lord. And then it says, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. But another translation says, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. You can think of the pilgrimage of thinking about Pilgrim's Progress, but just thinking about my heart is set on one thing, on this journey of coming to know the Lord in a deeper way, but my heart is set on eternity, on eternal things, right? Then it says, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. And then leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? when I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. My encouragement to you this morning, just that you would learn, each of us would learn. And this has just been in my heart, and I know it's been in my heart for me very much. It's just in a deeper way to learn to depend on the Lord, to trust him. And in all things, even this morning, I found myself anxious, thinking about all the things I desire to get done. That's often what makes me anxious, all the things on my to-do list. It could be anything for us, right? And yet the Lord, I just know in my heart, it's like this battle, saying, Lord, I need to just lay that down and just say, Lord, whatever you have for me. It's like Jesus would say, I don't say anything I don't hear the Father saying. I don't do anything I don't hear my Father telling me to do. Like, I only do what he tells me to do. And that is my desire, is that I could come to that place of spiritual maturity and growth in Christ, where it says, you know what, I depend on him for everything. And what a peace is mine, because I know that I don't have to, everything, I can just depend on him. I can trust him in trials. I can look to him when I feel overwhelmed. I can just know that he can guide every day and take care of every challenge or problem or whatever I have. So it's just a short encouragement for you this morning.